we finally got. Hello. We finally got the tech going, which is always good, although we don't need it, do we? So my name is Scott. If you don't know me, I'm the youth coordinator here at Old House. And it's fantastic to be with you this morning. If you are new here, you've never been here before, you are so welcome. If you're part of the furniture, you are also welcome. I'm not going to hold that against you. Definitely not. As Colin mentioned this morning, we are going through this booklet, Journey into Freedom. Please pick one up. They are quite good. They are, I think it's Roman Catholic, made up by them. So keep that in mind when you read it. But it's really, really good stuff. So I'm going to speak on the first week within that book, which is all about creation, all about creation. And so I've got a story for you. When I was growing up in South Africa, we in school, we used to take trips to the field. It was literally a field trip because you were in the field, surrounded by all sorts of things. I got stung in the nearby scorpion once. That was not fun. So anyway, we went on this field trip in the middle of the bush, and we went on a trek. We walked, and we walked, and we walked. I don't like walking. Can I just say that? Anyway, so we walked, and we walked, and we walked. We decided to take a rest, and I found this cliff, and I just looked out at the most awesome view, and I was just kind of admiring it. And then I heard a sound behind me. Now, in the African bush, if you hear a sound behind you, you want to start worrying because you don't know what it could be, okay? So I was standing there, just breaking it a little bit, and I thought to myself, I can't stand here forever. I've got to do something. And so I mustered up the courage, and I turned around, faced by one massive giraffe staring me down like this. And I thought to myself, right, there's one of two things I could do. I could jump off the cliff, maybe not, or I could make a run for it. And I stood there looking this thing in the face, and I went, I should probably make a run for it. And so I just ran, and I left the thing behind. And honestly, it's a really humbling thought. When you are standing literally face to face with one of God's creatures, there's something of his glory that rubs off on you. And this is what I'm going to be talking about today, our connection with God in creation. And so I'm going to read from Psalm 8 in the NLT. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow on your phones, whatever. It's also going to be on the screen if you want to follow it there. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. Do you know that they've not discovered the edge of the universe yet? Because God's still creating. Isn't that fantastic? You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Put things in perspective, doesn't it? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. I absolutely adore that psalm. It is so, so good. It talks of his glory. It talks of our place in his creation, in how much he cares for us. And so there's three things that stood out to me as I read it. Number one, the glory of God. Yeah, it's all down to him. It's all about him. Number two, seeking God in creation, finding him there. And number three, our authority, that which God has asked us to do. And so let's look at the first one, the glory of God. And so in Genesis 1, there's this awesome story about God creating everything. And if you grow up in church, it's one of those things that you'll hear all the time. We talk about how God made everything, which is fantastic. But I think one of the things that happens is that we grow complacent with the awesomeness of that story and what it would have taken to do it. And so we can sometimes just skim over it. But if we stop and just think about it, we will find that actually the God who created the whole of the universe also created us. The God who created the smallest organism and the biggest galaxy knows every hair on our head. Just stop and think about that. It is awe-inspiring. And then you look at what it takes to make Earth hospitable. Now, I'm not a scientific person. Please keep that in mind, okay? There's a lot of big numbers that I looked up. I can't count that high, so I just left that behind. Lots of gammas and psis and all sorts of things. I'll just leave that there. But if you look at a distance that we are from the sun, okay, a little bit closer, and we'll all be pork scratchings, okay? A little bit further away, and we'll all be ice blocks, okay? We are right in the correct place for us to be actually living and prospering. That's fantastic. Number two, our atmosphere and the ozone layer. It keeps all the essential gases in, and it keeps out all the harmful UV rays and radiation. Fantastic. Gravity. We're not floating around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Imagine that. That'd be weird. I don't want that. And then there's also the tilt on the earth. Now, I did some reading up on this, and I've always found it really weird. Why are we sitting like this and not like this? And the whole thing behind it is it gives us seasons. It gives us even seasons, having the tilt. And then there's something that they call the wobble as well. And so as the earth spins, the fluid, the core of the inside in the earth, makes the earth slightly wobbly. And that also creates even seasons. It's fantastic when you think about it. I'm like, God, you're so awesome. There's no chance that this is by coincidence. That's my thoughts. You are sovereign, God. You have set all of these things in place so that we can be here, so that we can live. And yes, I do think there was a big bang, okay? Because our God is big. Our God is great. And so anything he does would be big and be loud. Do you know that they've not actually discovered the trigger for the Big Bang yet? They don't know how it started. There's no evidence for it, okay? But if you think about the Bible, in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the throne room. It talks of peals of thunder and lightning emanating from the throne. In Ezekiel, it talks about the light of God being so overpowering. What they do know, that it was a burst of light that kicked it off, but they don't know where it came from. I do. Our God is the God of light. And so he is the one that started us off. He's the one who drew us together. And so as we think about this, there's Acts 17. There's the Message version. I want to read this to you guys because it's just so, so good. It's a paraphrase. The God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, does not live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him. You think that what you do for God is about you? Think again. It's all about him. It's all about him. As if he could take care of him, couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures don't make him. I read that and I'm so humbled. Such a great God. Such a big God. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He is not remote. He is near. When we play hide and seek with the kids at home, it's the funniest thing you'll ever see. Okay? Because they have no clue how to play it. They don't. They don't get the fact that you need to hide. Anyway, so they so we'll say, do you want to play hide and seek? They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they start counting. 1, 5, 9, 10, 12, 3, 2. Read or not, here I come. And then you'll go and hide, and they'll find you, and there's a big hoa, and they're like, it's your turn. So I'll start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. Read or not, here I come. And I'll make a big thing of it. I'm like, where are you? I can't see you. You're so good at hiding. And then you'll hear the giggling. You're like, oh, where's the giggling come from? I can't see you. And then you'll see the feet sticking out from behind the cabinet. And like, I can't see you. And the giggling will just get worse and worse. And suddenly you'll find them. You're like, yeah, I found you. And they're like, yeah, let's do it again. Let's do it again. I'm like, yeah, in the same spot again. I know that. God does not hide from us. He's not remote. He is near. Isn't that fantastic? The God who created the heavens and the earth is not remote. He is near. He wants to be found by us. But he's a powerful God, yet a gentle God. So if you think about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. He's a gentle God. He wants to be close to us. And so he created us with this similarity in his image so that we can draw close to him. We also need to focus on the gentleness in which we approach him. And so there's this quote by a lady called Ruth Haley Barton that it puts in a book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. It's a guy called Palmer Parker. I kept wanting to say Peter Parker, but it's not. That's from Spider-Man. And this is what it says. And I absolutely love this quote because it likens us to gentleness that it takes to draw out a wild animal. Okay, Phil knows this because I've told him this one. It says, the soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, resourceful, savvy. It knows how to survive in hard places, but it is also shy. Just like a wild animal, it seeks safety in the dense underbrush. If we want to see a wild animal, we know that the last thing we should do is to go crashing through the woods, yelling for it to come out. If you have ever been to the African bush on a safari, you will find that you can't go through screaming and shouting for the wild animals to come out. You need to be quiet. You need to anticipate. You need to wait in order for them to draw near. It's the same between us and God. For our souls to connect with God, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to draw near through quietness and through gentleness. That is so important. We need to remember that. And so as we look for God within creation, in stillness, locking out the craziness of the world, all the chores, running the kids here and there, doing our job, going shopping, all the different things that take up our time, we need to find that time for quietness. And it's difficult. I know that. It's difficult. We've got 4 kids. I know that. It's very difficult, but it's so important for us to find that. Find that space within, because that space can be your place of solitude, like Jesus. Jesus drew away all the time. He drew away all the time to spend time with his Father. But he made time for it, and he drew away. And that place can be in creation. And so there's this video I'd like you guys to watch with me. Most of you will know this song. It's So Will I by Hillsong. And I just the stuff that it says in that song is so profound. It helps me connect with God so much. So as I play it, if you want to close your eyes, let the word speak to you. Allow God to draw near to you through that song. Or you could just watch it. Absolutely up to you. Jesus regularly withdrew. Jesus regularly took that time to be with his Father. And so if we look at creation, the thing that God made so that we can connect with him, the place that God made for us to dwell, let's consider the complexities that you need for life to exist on earth. The glory of the heavens, fine balance of ecosystems, that if one thing is out of place, the ecosystem will fail. See the glory of God in that. We can find God in creation. We just need to stop and look. And the fact that there's life, the miracle of babies. In Psalm 8 verse 2, in the Message version, it says this: nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs. We've got small kids. We know the last bit is true, 100%. But have you thought about that? When a baby do they goo goo gagas that you don't get? Maybe they're just worshiping Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? God's built his glory into every little aspect of his creation. However God speaks to you, you can find him within creation. He's all over it. He's all over it. In this book, Pope Francis says this: we are beloved creatures of God who in his goodness calls us to love life and to live it in communion with the rest of creation. And so we have been created to walk within creation alongside God's creation. But more than that, we have been called to care for creation. We have been called to actually enjoy creation. And not to lord it over it, not to lord it over it, but to care for it. In Psalm 8, it says this: you gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. And when you think about authority, it means to have responsibility for. It means to be actually 100% in there, going for it, taking responsibility for it. It means to be empowered. Isn't that awesome? God has given us everything that we need to look after his creation. And it means to be trusted. That one, I can't get my head around it. Why would God trust us, failed human beings, with his handiwork? Isn't that love? That's ultimate love. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to look after my creation because I love you so much and I want you to be part of this. And so as church, we need to be the forerunners in caring for the environment. We need to be the ones that set the example to the world. And while we do that, we find God in it because we do it out of a love for him. All the way from recycling, washing out all the containers, to responsible energy usage. We are the people of God who have been given the responsibility by God to care for creation. We need to be setting the example. And the great thing is, we can find God as we do it. As we care, people will see that we love him. People will see that we love him and they'd want in on that. It's a great thing being able to say that to someone. Why do you do it? You know what? Because actually God loves me so much and he's given me responsibility for this. this is why I do it. I do it out of a love and a reverence for my Creator. And so as I draw to a close and the worship band come back up, as we move into this time of Lent and preparing for Jesus dying on the cross and rising, let's consider God's creation. Let's consider the complexities of it, the wonders of it, the fact that babies gurgle and they worship Jesus. Let's worship him out of it. Let's draw close to him and take our responsibility to heart. But I think what's more astounding, really, is that the God of all creation left his glory to be born as an innocent little baby, to grow up and to live life among us, to experience everything that we will ever go through in order that we can identify with him and he can identify with us, and then to die a sinner's death on a cross that he didn't deserve, to on the third day be resurrected so that we can have eternity with our Father if that is what we choose to do. And he did it all for us, to reconcile us to him, but also to show us his glory. And so as we look at creation and we consider all the things that we look at, let's also think about what Jesus has done for us in order to reconcile us to himself. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a great God. I thank you, God, that you are all over creation. And Lord, as we prepare for Easter coming, may your glory be known in us and through us. May we find you in creation in order for us to draw closer and deeper into you. And Lord God, may everything that we do, say, and think about bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.